This is episode number 40 of the WordPress Authority Show with two-star authority site owner Dan Norris of WPCurve.com.
Today's show is WordPress Authority Business Builder, where we discuss the basic building blocks used by WordPress Authority website owners. For more information on the show formats and for other shows in this season and series, make sure to check out wpauthorities.com/shows.
What is an authority site?
So when I think of an authority website,
I think of the place that people go when they want to learn from the best. I think of where the credibility lies.
You will respect my authority.
Hey, I hope you're having a great day wherever you happen to be in the world today. Thanks so much for spending some quality time with me. I'm Trevor Turnbull, your host of the WordPress Authority Show, where we cut through the noise and dial into the signal each and every day, featuring a WordPress authority site owner. And today, that is none other than Dan Norris of WP Curve. And during this episode, Dan talks about who he's modeled his own authority website strategy after and discusses the four essential qualities of an authority website based on that individual that he is modeling his own business after. He also discusses his wow moment as it relates to Google authorship and how it's really impacted his traffic and authority. We also discuss how his business model has dictated his content strategy in order to attract the right clients. So not just attract new traffic, but to get the right people there that are willing to buy his products and services. All right, let's get into the show right after this message.
Are you a WordPress authority subscriber? Don't miss your shot to claim your authority. Subscribe to our email list at wpauthorities.com.
Question for you. What's your problem? Seriously, though, I'm not mad. I'm just saying that we're here to find solutions to your biggest problems in your own WordPress authority website business. How would you like a coach to review your site, to recommend solutions, and even implement them for you on the spot? We're giving away a free report, action guide, and a 15-minute coaching session delivered by a Google Hangout or Skype to a lucky WordPress Authority Show listener. To qualify, simply go to iTunes, find the WordPress Authority Show, subscribe to the podcast, leave a review, and hopefully a 5-star review, and then most importantly, post your biggest problem at wpauthorities.com/coaching.
And now it's time for the WordPress Authority Show, where it's impossible to miss work.
What's up, everyone? It's Trevor Turnbull here, and welcome to the WordPress Authorities Podcast, where we show you how to model the masters of WordPress publishing so that you can create, grow, and monetize your own authority website. And today on the show, we're talking with Dan Norris from WPCurve.com. How's it going, Dan?
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's our pleasure. I'm looking forward to chatting you here. Obviously, we were connected through a mutual friend, Laura Roeder. When I got done our recent interview with her, I said, who do I need to talk to in the WordPress publishing space? And your name immediately came up. So really looking forward to chatting with you here.
Cool. Thanks, Laura.
Yeah, definitely. Shout out to Laura on that one. Yeah. Appreciate the connection. Dan, let's first of all start off just by setting the context of the interview here for everybody that's listening and watching here. We always like to ask our guests just to get a sense of kind of where you're at technologically speaking. Would you define yourself as a technophobe or a technophile? Meaning, are you really tightly connected to the technology in your business? Do you love it? Do you hate it? You got kind of a love-hate relationship? What would you define yourself as?
That's a pretty good question. I'm not sure. I'm not a programmer, and I have been in the past, so I probably know enough to be dangerous. These days, I've got programmers that work for me, and I like that a lot better. But yeah, I'm a bit of a technophile, I guess.
Nice. So, would you say that you fit in more to the like marketing and sales side of your business then, or what's your main role with the company?
Again, it's pretty hard to answer. I'm a bit of a jack of all trades.
Okay.
I do. So, me and my co-founder, we both kind of run the business in our parts of the world because the business runs 24/7.
Yeah.
So both of us pretty much do every aspect of what we need to do in the business. And then on top of that, we do a lot of content creation, which is the only marketing we do. And again, both of us do that. So we love creating content. Alex is better at the face-to-face, like attending conferences and presenting that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Sales, but I'm okay at the kind of online content creation stuff. So
gotcha. And your business partner, you say what's his name? Alex? What's the last name?
McClafferty.
McClafferty, right.
You can call him Claff if you want, or The Claff.
The Claff. Nice. Got it. I was actually listening to your guys' podcast recording you just published here a couple of days ago. I think it was on January 2nd. And talking about the fact that you guys have been running your business remotely. Is that correct? You guys have never actually met in person?
No, never met him, never met anyone on our team. We're up to six people now, including the founders.
Wow.
Yeah, lots of Skype calls.
Yeah, no doubt. Gotta love technology, right? It actually connects people right around the world.
Yeah, yeah. We're hoping to meet each other this year. But, I mean, we've only been going, this current business, we've only been going for 6 months. And it's been a... Yeah, it's been really full on. I don't think we would have been able to take a week off the travel, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So, Dan, why did you decide to use WordPress as your preferred platform to build your business? And did you use any other ones before you decided on using WordPress as your main platform?
Yeah, I've been building websites since 2006. And back then, I remember actually when I first started out, I did a review of all these CMSs. And I think I reviewed 25 different ones, but it was really early days, like, there was ones like Mambo and Joomla had just separated, I think, and there was Movable Type and WordPress and Drupal and all these ones. And it came down to, I mean, at that time, I think I just chose Joomla because it was like one of the only ones I could actually install.
Yeah.
But gradually, it just became obvious that clients couldn't use it. It was too confusing and it was powerful and it probably should have been like, I kind of feel like it probably should have won the battle with WordPress, but it just didn't. Mm. It didn't evolve like WordPress did.
Right.
And so we eventually moved over most of our clients to WordPress, including our own site. And once I started doing a lot of content, like even just creating a blog on Joomla was a pain.
Really?
So was it
more from the usability standpoint for the end user, the clients, or was it on the scalability of the actual platform? Because you say it was fairly powerful at the time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we had some really big sites running on it and lots of e-commerce sites and, no issues around that. It was just how hard it was to use and just little things like, I actually wrote a post on this probably 3 or 4 years ago. But it was little things like automatic updates and like to upgrade Joomla, you have to like manually copy all the files up onto the server and override all the other ones. And it was like a really nerve-wracking process because you're like, it's kind of not sure what was going to happen when you upload all these files.
Yeah. Yeah.
Little things like that. They just took a long time to sort stuff like that out. And they had like their own language around, articles that they kept changing. Like it wasn't a page. It was like a content item. And then they changed it to an article. And it was all just really confusing. Mm. So when we started this business, all of our stuff ran on WordPress. I'd been blogging. After I sold my last business in 2012, I spent a year creating loads of content and we were using WordPress for everything. And I mean, I don't really want to support other systems. We don't need to. There's so many WordPress sites out there. We can just stick with WordPress and we don't have to kind of mess with all the other ones.
All right. So that's great, Dan. Thanks very much for chatting about the WordPress side of things. Now, obviously, the other side of what we focus on here in our podcast is the authority side of websites. Now, when I say authority, what do you think of as an authority website? What comes to mind for you? What defines that?
I guess that's what our whole business is run on the idea that we become well known for something. Ideally, it's something that people care about and something that you can sell a product around. So I guess the sites that come to mind when I think about that, Neil Patel is probably the one that I look up to the most. Just the amount of stuff he puts on his site and the quality of it, the structure of it, the way he spends money on it, you know, the amount of traffic he's getting, how tight his site is for like conversions and all that kind of stuff. It just makes me think of Neil Patel every time I think of pretty much any online marketing topic. So, I mean, in every industry, there's totally different leaders, but in our industry, that's the person I look up to, and that's the kind of person we model off to try and create our content at that sort of level.
Right, right. And now when we talk about authority as well, obviously the topic of authorship, Google authorship comes up as well. How familiar are you with Google authorship, and how much do you guys pay attention to that in your strategy when you're creating content and just building your overall content strategy with your WordPress sites?
Yeah, I mean, we got onto it really early. It was interesting when they brought that out, and we started, like I started, my head started showing in the search engines for these big keywords. I'm like, wow, this is actually... could be a game changer. But now we only really have a couple of sites, and at the moment it's only me and Alex doing the content, and that's going to change this year. We were able to get through, I think, 250 posts in the last 12 months. But we want to do more this year. We want to do 365, and I think it's going to be impossible for us to do that without guest authors. So
yeah,
at the moment we don't spend a lot of time on working out all that stuff, but that's like number two or three in our list of things to do in 2014.
Right, right. So you've done the basics then, as a lot of our past guests have talked about, where, you know, you've researched the topic and done whatever you need to do from a technology standpoint as far as the author relationship equals author tags and all that kind of stuff. Is that safe to say?
Yeah, and we're not like totally giving up on Google Plus either, because I don't use it a lot, but I know that if we've got a lot of people following us on there, then our site is much more likely to show in their personalized results. Mm-hmm. So we're sort of thinking about how we manage that. Like we're not that active on there ourselves, but we've got a few followers on there and we know it's important. So we're sort of thinking about how we can use that in 2014 and maybe make that a bit more of a focus on our site, get people to follow us on there as opposed to on Facebook or something.
Right, right. And I was listening to your podcast with Alex there before we got on the call here. You mentioned something about the fact that your current personal website is thedannorris.com, correct?
Yeah.
And both you and Alex have been writing on that, and his photo is coming up under your author. Is that correct?
Just for the homepage. If you Google my name.
Gotcha.
You can try it. Go and Google Dan Norris, and hopefully I'll come up and you'll see Alex's face and you'll see a little smart remark that I left there in the meta tag, so you can hopefully it works for you. But anyway, so from a branding and like authority point of view, I wanted to make sure this year that we had like strong brands around all the stuff we're doing. And at the moment we had that site, which is, I put a lot of content on there. Alex puts a lot of content on there. We don't really have any way to monetize it. It's just like a outlet for content. But this year we want to turn that into a separate brand and have like a clear monetization with it, and, you know, have it as more of a recognizable brand in that kind of startup online marketing type area.
Right, right. I did just do that that Google that you just asked me to. I just Googled your name, and you're right. Yeah, it did actually. It comes up as Dan Norris, personal blog of Dan Norris, and then it's got the photo of Alex on there by Alex McLafferty. That's obviously, I guess, because he's posting on the site more than you are, or what do you think the cause of that is?
I'm not actually sure. I mean, we've put out, I honestly haven't spent much time looking at it because I thought it was kind of funny, and and he's better looking than I am, so it's probably like increases our click throughs. So.
Oh, there you go. I see your little comment on here.
Yeah, but we're also moving the site to startupchat.co, which is going to be our new location for all of that content. So we're going to deal with all of that as part of the migration.
Right, right. Yeah. So obviously you guys have given some thought to that then, how you're going to be migrating that site over, because I can't remember. Let me just do a quick check here right now. But I know your personal site was ranking quite well too, just from like an Alexa standpoint. It's in like the 270,000 range, which is quite good. So what have you guys done, or what are you considering as far as things that you need to do in order to make sure that transition happens smooth over to this new startupchat.co?
Yeah, well, there's a few things that we've done it before, because I originally had everything on my Informly domain, and then we had to redirect everything. And there's a few things you have to let go. One is the totals of your social sharing numbers for each post, which sucks, because I've got a couple of posts on there which are like 200 tweets, and I think that kind of gives your site a little bit of credibility.
Yeah.
And we talk about our content in like we put out email courses and posts about different content we've done and what's worked well, and we kind of link to one and we say, oh, this one was really well, really good, and then they go there and see it's got 5 tweets, and you kind of have to explain that, no, actually it's got a lot more. But I think the Google pluses go across because Google have figured that out, but the tweets and Facebook likes don't.
Right, yeah.
Other than that, I mean, we obviously put all the redirects in place, so we make sure that generally the way I do it is just keep the URL structure exactly the same and just put a general redirect for every page of that domain goes to the exact same page of the new domain.
Yeah.
Because our podcast is moving and it's currently on wpcurve.com, we're going to have to put in a bunch of different redirects because the URLs for them, they don't have the word podcast in it. It's just like the name of the episode.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to put a bunch of redirects in for each post for those.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think generally, like, if it's a better brand that we're moving to, I'm always confident enough that we'll be able to rebuild that brand to a higher level than the current one is at.
Mm-hmm.
Which happened with my first business. When I sold it, I was getting about 5,000 visits a month to my site, and I was ranking for these really big keywords in Australia. Like, I was ranking number one for website design and number three for web design, all this stuff. And I thought 5,000 visits a month was awesome. But now we're getting, I think in November we had about 30,000 visits to our sites, and we're not really ranking for big keywords. We're just building that authority, and it works a lot better than anything I've done before. So I'm kind of like confident that if we set up a decent brand and we have a really tight structure around the content and everything, that we'll build that up pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it seems like as you guys have built that authority over time here, there's a number of factors that contribute to it, right? It's not just the keyword searchability and the fact that you're ranking high in Google, but it is that social proof, and it is the fact that people are probably coming to you for really quality content. I think that's what it really comes down to, is just quality content. And the fact that you guys are planning on, like, well, 200 plus pieces of content in a year is nothing to bat an eyelash at either. That's a significant amount of content in a year as well. Yeah. But with your intentions on doing one a day for this upcoming year, that's obviously a lot of content that's going to be pushed out. You see a lot of publishers actually doing this. I know you guys mentioned John Lee Dumas and the fact that he does his daily podcast as his content strategy as well. And was there motivation behind doing your daily content release because of guys like John and what he was doing?
Possibly. I interviewed John on my podcast pretty early on, and I've been surprised by the level of success he's had. Surprise, that doesn't sound right, does it? Doesn't sound like I was expecting it to be successful, but I mean, like, the amount of money he's generating and the download numbers, like, it's pretty remarkable how much momentum he's had, you know, and it's not just because of the amount of content, but that's had a fair bit to do with it, I think. Just the fact that no one was doing a really tight, structured entrepreneurship podcast daily. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that original momentum helped him get into the iTunes featured section, and that kind of, you know, led to other things. And I think like the quantity of content is a significant part of it. For us, though, it's not like a daily post. What I want to do is I want to do 365 posts in the year. So we're not going to do it every day just for the sake of writing something every day.
Yeah.
But we're going to overall do that much content. So some days we'll write, you know, we'll do three or four. Or we'll do an interview, three or four interviews like this. And other days we'll, you know, we won't publish anything. But like for us, really, the main reason is we want to be seen as an authority in content marketing. And so we want to lead by example and put out a lot of content and set a goal and kind of try to hit that. And the other thing is content's working really well for our business, so we want to do more of what's working.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Yeah, and I'm looking forward to digging into that a little bit here in the interview as well, as far as content strategy and all that. I know it sounds like you guys got some great ideas. Now, speaking of the authority side of things, and WP Curve in particular, because that's the one that's definitely ranking the highest, and I'm assuming that's your highest traffic site.
Yeah.
Between all the ones that you manage, what level would you say that your site is at currently as far as in establishing authority? And it might be difficult, but maybe just put a grade on it, or You know, like, or do you feel like you guys are one of the go-to resources for the niche that you're trying to dominate in? Do you feel there's room to improve there? Where would you say you guys rank as far as being an authority in your space?
Well, it depends what you're measuring. So we don't actually put a lot of WordPress content up on our site. We put stuff up there that ideally will help people who are trying to grow their business. So we talk a lot about conversions and a lot about things like Infusionsoft, because we know that if anyone's using Infusionsoft, then they probably have a real business because they're paying $300 a month at least for it.
Yeah, for sure.
So, like, we stay away from the WordPress how-to stuff, so we're not an authority by any means in that. Like, if you look at WP Beginner or something, like, that thing's a monster. I wouldn't even want to try and compete against that.
We had Syed on an interview not long ago talking about that. They've got a lot of content pieces on there.
Yeah, it's all really good too. Like, I get the weekly emails. It's all really good. And it's not just beginner stuff. It's like, it's all really useful, high quality stuff. And I don't feel like we need to go and create another version of that. So what we're trying to do is find like the right type of business and then create content around that. And so the topics we've been focusing on more are things like conversions and content marketing, general online marketing, I guess, and marketing automation to a lesser extent with something like Infusionsoft. But yeah, to rate it on a scale, I don't know. We've started to rank for WordPress support on the second page of Google. And without really trying. So I think that's some indication. Like, most of the front page of Google is filled with the actual WordPress sites, like WordPress.org sites. There's only one or two companies that actually rank for that. So I think if we can get to the front page of Google for that keyword, then that'll give us some credibility in being like a reputable WordPress support company. And I think we're like 15th or something at the moment. So yeah.
Right. So, and the more success that you're having in that area, I'm assuming it's leading to more success financially as far as booking new clients and that type of thing through the services that you guys offer.
Yeah. So, I mean, we don't do any marketing at all other than content. And so really every single client that comes to us is either via word of mouth or it's some sort of content we've done either on our site or on another site. Our service is very simple. It's every month you pay $69 a month and you get unlimited small fixes and we're available 24/7 and on live chat. So we're kind of there when your website breaks. And we can fix stuff, pretty much anything, as long as it's not like a big project or something. So it's a simple service. And we just look at the number of people that sign up. And I think we've had 100, I think we're up to, actually across all of our different products and things, I think we're up to 184 customers. And that's been in about 6 months.
Oh, wow.
It's growing quite well. And all of that is content or word of mouth.
Yeah. Cool. Very cool. And you mentioned earlier about Neil Patel as somebody that you guys look at as a great example, somebody that you try and model from a content perspective. Is there any other sites out there that you guys look at and think like, wow, they're really doing this well, we should try some of that, or, you know, other sites that you want to emulate?
Yeah, I look at different types of content. So like podcasting, I'm always looking at podcasters and how they do things, and John Dumas is one that's been a bit of an inspiration just because of the amount of success he's had quickly and like the structure around, like, I can appreciate that, like, that really highly structured show is not to everyone's taste, but I can also see that having that structure in place has been really effective for him.
And so
other podcasts, like, I like This Week in Startups, Joe Rogan, those kind of shows where they're like less structured as well and more conversational. And I look for tips in those things. I mean, podcasting is so hard. It's just, it feels like it's just going to be years before I get good at it. But so they're probably my top ones podcast wise. I look at the type of content. Like, if we want to do a book, well, I'll look at, you know, I look at like Nathan Barry and look at his stuff around his conversions on his ebook sales page and his authority book. And if we want to do a blog, we'll look at, you know, some good writers, or look at what Neil Patel's doing. If we want to do an infographic, we'll look at Kissmetrics. We kind of try to look at the type of content and work out who's doing it really well. Yeah.
Yeah. And no, and I hear you on the podcasting side of things too. It's I think a fine balance between having enough structure that you can have consistency between the episodes and allow people to know what to expect, as well as being able to be spontaneous and have conversations go the way that they just happen to go. Right. There seems to be a fine line there that some of the best podcasters in the world are doing really well at. And everybody else is trying to figure it out and model after them. So
yeah. But there's different styles too. Like, I don't know if you have you listened to the Joe Rogan show?
I have, yeah.
I mean, that guy, he's just like, I mean, I can't, obviously I'm not a comedian, so I can't do what he does. And he's like a really engaging sort of interviewer, but I mean, they just talk shit for 3 hours straight. Like I don't think there's any structure or strategy whatsoever, but I think someone said the other day he was getting like 8 million downloads or something. I don't know if that's per episode or per week or per month, but either way, that's a lot.
Yeah. Well, there's an audience for everything, right? And people with an opinion definitely draw a crowd for sure. That's, I think, one of the things that you find in the media side of things. You got to take a stance on something every once in a while in order to have a voice and have people either agree or disagree with you. It creates that, I don't want to say controversy, but just, you know, friendly banter back and forth.
Yeah, well, that's why I like This Week in Startups, because JCal's always having to go at someone, usually Zuckerberg or Google. But
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, even just being interviewed on podcasts, like James Schramko is another guy that I pay a lot of attention to. And he's like a really engaging sort of communicator and storyteller. When he gets interviewed, he always does a really good job. So that's something I'm trying to pay attention to and try to improve as well, like having different stories every time someone interviews you rather than just kind of going over the same old stuff. And that's a real skill. So looking at people who are doing that really well and trying to, I guess, model that is what we do as well.
Yeah, for sure. No, those are all great examples. Perfect. Thanks so much for sharing your time with us here today. Now, please tell me, I'm dying to know, did you enjoy the podcast? Did you get clarity on your biggest challenge, obstacle, or problem that you're currently facing in your own WordPress authority business? If so, then don't miss out on the chance to win a coaching review. Just head over to iTunes, subscribe, leave a comment, and then head back to wpauthorities.com/coaching to tell us your pain in the ass, and we'll make sure that we play doctor for you. Make sure to subscribe via iTunes or head over to our website, wpauthorities.com, and subscribe via email.
Until next time,
you will respect my authority.